Splash. Written by Diffractum. Read by SBL. Fandom, the Untamed. Relationship, Lantern, Longji, Wing, Wei Wuxian. Rating, explicit. Summary. Lantern is one of few practicing cultivators left. She spends her days at sea, on her boat, putting restless souls at ease. She did not realize that she, too, is a restless soul. Dawn is still breaking when Lenten finds the body. The sun is on the cusp of spilling over the horizon like a full egg yolk, bursting across the sea in ripples until it trickles onto the shore. Lenten is on a run, which she always tries to fit in if she's docked on land. The beach is sandy, and she likes to feel her thighs bunching up and releasing, a familiar strain that she doesn't get to experience as often as she likes. It's not unusual for coastal people to be up and about at dawn, especially if it's a fishing town, but rarely are there people set idle on the beach at this hour when it's too cold for sunbathing. Especially naked. She thumps to a halt, the packed wet sand sending an impact up her shin before she walks up to the body. The sand around it is already starting to dry as the tide recedes. It's a woman, that much is obvious. What's not immediately obvious is whether she's dead or not. Her body is toned, like she does a lot of exercise, so Lenchen looks around briefly for a pile of clothes somewhere, but she doesn't see anything. She must have washed up from the shore from somewhere else. It's not until Lenchen crouches down next to her, places a hand under her nose that she can feel the slight movement of air. All right, well, she's breathing. Lenten is no doctor, but she's well-versed in first aid. She kneels down next to one side and opens the woman's mouth, sets the limbs so that they won't roll away, and then pulls her onto her side in case of water or vomit in the lungs. As she pulls the body towards her, the woman lets out a long groan, which eases into a coughing fit. That's a good sign. Water dribbles out of her mouth, but not much. Lenchen looks around. The shops along the beach are still closed. The most likely place she can find help is a harbor, which she left 15 minutes behind on her run. She doesn't carry a phone on her. If this had actually been a dead body, Lenten would have been more help. She had her Tianquan pouch on her, strapped against her belly, and she would have been able to settle the spirit and ask it how it had died. Someone alive, however...
Can you hear me?
Asks Lenten, gently thumping the woman's lower back to encourage her to cough up more water. With her other hand, she peels back the long, damp hair. Her skin is cold and clammy. She might well be on the way to hypothermia already, and the soaked hair won't help. Lenten doesn't even have a jacket to offer her. She's only running in a long t-shirt and cycling shorts. She is wearing a sports bra underneath, though, and she's nicely warm from her run, so Lenten pulls off her t-shirt.
Here, I don't have anything else, but I'm going to put this on you. Is that all right?
Asked Lenten, keeping her voice low and even, like she does when she's calming a restless spirit. The woman is scrabbling, trying to push herself upright. Lenten lends an arm, bracing her as she sits up.
Thanks!
She says. She takes the t-shirt and blinks up at Lenten and smiles, with a mouth full of sharp teeth.
Oh. Right. So, perhaps Lenchen doesn't have to worry too much about medical help then, given she's in the company of someone who is not quite human. Even if she looks... human enough. Lenchen is not going to worry about that right now. She helps get the t-shirt on, And thankfully, it's an oversized t-shirt anyway, and the woman is a little shorter than her. They're on the beach, so as long as she doesn't bend over, no one's going to bat an eyelid. It sticks to her, along with a thin layer of sand drying out on her skin like a crust, all across her back, and down her ass, and along her long, smooth legs. It doesn't seem to bother her. Lenchen is trying to mentally go through her bestiary. She's encountered a fair share of creatures over the years, from water spirits to possessed sea creatures, but there are very few that look like beautiful women, at least along the coastline.
Do you know where you are?
Lenchen asks, instead sticking to what she would do if this were a human woman in need.
Do you remember who you are?
Well, Wei Ying, she says, and points at herself.
Wei Ying,
repeats Lenchen, and then points at herself too. Lenchen. 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 Ha. Hello. Lenchen can't help but smile. Hello. Wei Ying looks around, taking in her surroundings. She waves at the sea and trills. Her voice is high. High enough that it hurts Lenchen's ears. She sees Lenchen flinch and stops. Trills again, but lower. It lilts up towards the end, like a question.
Yes, that's better, says Lenchen. I'm sorry, it was too high for me the first time.
Wei experiments, sounds gurgling in her throat that Lenchen is sure her throat would not be able to reproduce.
Ha, ha, home,
she says eventually, pointing out at the sea.
Can you swim?
She shakes her head, stops, thinks about it, shakes her head again.
Not home.
Not your home?
Lenchen thinks about it.
Your home is the sea, but not this part of it?
Wing's face lights up, and she nods. She scrambles on the sand and then attempts to stand in jerky motions, flashing her sandy, bare ass right in Lenchen's face as Lenchen tries to respectfully not look. She wobbles, and Lenchen quickly rises to steady her as she totters sideways across the sand.
Legs,
she says, astonished. Ah! Oh. All right, there's another clue. She's not used to legs. It's too early to tell definitively, but most creatures try very hard to kill or maim or eat Lenchen within the first few minutes, so she deems Wing harmless at least for now and takes her back to her boat. It takes a while. The 15-minute run becomes a 30-minute walk with Wing holding onto her arm, looking around inquisitively. She chirps whenever she wants Lenchen's attention, and it's usually so that Lenchen can explain things to her in Mandarin. She wants to know what cars are.
Transport. Very fast. Dangerous.
And what streetlights are.
Right at night.
She does not appreciate the feel of pebbles under her feet when they reach the end of the stretch of beach. And she's absolutely fascinated by birds, staring at a cluster of seagulls from as close as Lenchen will let her, which is to say far enough that they're not standing in any of their droppings.
They fly in the sky,
says Lenchen, pointing to some that are hovering over the sea. Says Wei Ying, and screeches in a startlingly good imitation of seagulls. Lenchen does not jump out of her skin at the sun right next to her.
Yes, those,
she says weakly as Wayne stares at them some more. If she's from the sea, then she's possibly not seen a bird up close before. The closer they get to the harbor, the more people there are. Most of them are honestly too busy to notice them, But Lenten does bustle Wing along before anyone can spot anything too strange. Cultivation is already esoteric enough. She collects souls lost at sea and returns them to their families, and while sea folk are superstitious enough that she can comfortably make a living out of it, she doesn't want to expose people to the other parts of her job. It's for the best, maybe, that dragons and sea creatures and the like are falling by the wayside into becoming more myth than reality. The harbor is well populated, either by the fishermen who make their living day in, day out on the boats, or the dozens of locals who have boats for leisure or occasional purposes. Few are the people who travel here by boat and need to stay for more than a few days. Her boat is tied up at the very edge of it, away from the bustle, nose pointed into the open sea. She makes Wing scrape the sand off before getting on. Sand in the living quarters while living on a boat is pretty inevitable, but she tries to avoid it as much as possible. It's dry now, to the point where it flakes off in clumps as she brushes herself down. Wien's skin is still cold, but she doesn't seem in any danger. Lenchen can't spot the trembling or blue-tinged skin or any of the other worrying signs she'd look out for in a human. She sniffs disdainfully at the pair of shorts that Lenchen offers her, and instead curls up on the sunspot on Lenchen's deck, leaning into the sun by the time Lenchen has ridded around her cupboards and comes up with breakfast for the two of them. She eats sloppily, as if she's not used to using cutlery, and bites a chunk out of her spoon before spitting it out in confusion. Very strong teeth, then, Lenchen surmises. Lenchen gets out both her cultivation manuals and her laptop afterwards, trying to cross-reference them to see if she can find any clues as to both what Wing is and where she might have come from. There was a strong storm for the last few days, part of the reason Lenchen is still here when normally she might have left already. But it broke in the early hours of the morning. It's second nature now for Lenchen to pull up weather reports and start charting. Wei looks over her shoulder occasionally, but doesn't seem to understand any of it, and goes back to sunning herself on the deck, wiggling her toes and then her ankles and watching them move, figuring out how legs work. If she's bothered by the sea throwing her up on an unfamiliar shore, she doesn't show it. Wei? Asks Lenchen eventually, stretching out her feet, ankles, thighs. That's right. Her body is reminding her now that she hadn't had a chance to cool down after her run. She does so now, on the deck, feeling the vertebrae on her back click satisfyingly. You're home. Is it warm? Wing hums. More warm than here. She watches Lenchen stretching with some fascination and then smiles, wide and toothily, when she spots Lenchen noticing. Interesting. Lenchen nods to herself, satisfied, as she thinks it through. She's currently in the Bohai Gulf, near the border of where China meets North Korea, but Wing understands Mandarin. So it was unlikely she had come from the east, and given the currents for the last couple of days, it seemed most plausible that Wing came up from the south. Lenchen is headed in that direction anyway, so she steps back inside to sort some calculations. She's been living here, just her, on her boat, for almost 10 years now. She knows off by heart how much fuel, how much food, how much weight she can carry and keep herself in stock between stops up and down the coast. But calculating for two people is a different matter. She usually sails up and down the coastline, so she's never too far from the shore. But it's still good to make sure that she's prepared, because she hates running out of fresh water or cramming bags of waste into the back. Just because she lives in a boat, doesn't mean that she has to suffer.
If I go buy supplies, will you stay here?
Coming out onto the deck with a cushion, a towel, and a hairbrush. Wei has lurked at the entrance to her lower deck, but didn't seem to want to come down, and Lanchen is on open water too often for her to bother keeping soft sitting out here. Wei squeezes her bare ass cheeks happily onto the cushion, and Lanchen bites the inside of her cheek.
For your hair,
she says instead, holding out the hairbrush.
Before it gets too knotted.
Wei pats at her hair, which is a clumpy, sandy dampness. Easier in water, she agrees, trying to untwist it. Which is how Lanchen ends up sitting cross-legged behind her, helping her untangle her hair and brush it out. It takes a while, because it turns out that Wing's hair is almost waist length. She sorts it out in little sections at a time, the sand falling loose down Wing's back onto Lanchen's bare calves. Supplies? Asks Wei Ying, sounding the word out several times.
To buy food, fresh water, fuel. I can take you home as we go south.
Bye? Wei Ying twists around from where she's still examining how her knees only bent one way. Market?
Yes, and other shops.
Buy orange fruit? Asks Wei Ying, miming a smallish fruit that she bites into. Please? Lanchen agrees, and finishes brushing out her hair first. It's thick and black, and falls straight down, damp as it is, and smells faintly of salt. She drapes it over Wing's shoulder to show her when she's done.
Ooh, thank you,
says Wing, patting it. Very soft. Lanchen comes back, along with her usual supplies, with a basket that has a selection of oranges, tangerines, apricots, grapefruit, loquats, and persimmons. It turns out that there were rather more varieties of orange fruit than she had expected. She heads her loads into the back, the strain in her shoulders a comfortable workout. Moves everything into roughly the right place, and then takes her basket of fruit up onto the front of the deck for Wei Ying to peruse. She does not expect to see Wei Ying sitting with her knees bent up and legs spread as she peers down below the hem of her borrowed t-shirt, two fingers inside her cunt. Lanchen misses a step. The pain steps momentarily up her shin as she lands too much weight on it subtly, and she slams the basket down onto the deck. Six varieties of orange fruit do a little bounce. Wei looks up at the noise, and her face brightens at the sight of Lanchen.
Lanchen! What?
She pulls out and waves her fingers, which are indeed wet, a Lanchen to show her. Lanchen steadies herself against the top of the lower deck.
Yes, so I see,
she says in what she thinks is a remarkably even voice. She can already feel her body packing 10 years of abstinence into one enormous regret.
Show me,
says Wei Ying, hiking one of her legs into the air and pointing her pussy at Lanchen. Lanchen breathes. Several times, in fact, through her nose, and then through her mouth, and then through her nose again. It does not make the heavy roil of arousal go away. Okay, then. The three steps across the deck feel unbearably far. Lanchen is pretty sure she goes through several moral crises simultaneously in the time it takes for her to sit down next to Wei Ying. Except then, Wei Ying is grabbing Lanchen's hand with her sticky fingers and guiding them down to Wei Ying's pussy and, well, one of the first things Lanchen had noticed was that Weying had no body hair. She hadn't been trying to notice, and once she had, she tried valiantly not to look. But now, Weying is telling her to touch, and so Lanchen slides her fingers down Weying, smooth and the skin baby soft, until she can feel the plump folds of her pussy. Weying's hand is on the back of Lanchen's, like she really is trying to learn as Lanchen slides two fingers in. Weying is open. Her fingers slide all the way in immediately. She kneels at Weying's back for a better angle, her thighs either side of Weying's hips, which puts her face next to Weying's ear.
"Very wet," she confirms hoarsely,
before moving her fingers in and out, trying to find the right angle. She knows she's got it when Weying squirms, a little trill gurgling out of the back of her throat. Lanchen wraps her free arm around Weying's chest, low enough that she can feel the weight of her breasts, small and soft, press against her forearm, and slides her thumb over Weying's clit. Weying squeals and presses her hips up for more. Lanchen can feel the frantic expansion and compression of Weying's ribs, tight on her arm, of Weying's breathing speeding up as Lanchen fucks her faster. Weying is... Well, it's not like Lanchen has a wealth of data from different participants to draw from, but Weying is definitely wetter than she gets. Weying comes quickly, her hands tightening around Lanchen's forearm as she throws her head back with a tiny scream when the orgasm hits her. Lanchen fucks her through it before she carefully slows her hand, pulls her fingers out. Weying makes a miffed little noise and grabs Lanchen's wrist.
More! Still wet!
Lanchen doesn't know how to explain that she's not likely to stop being wet just like that, but then decides that Weying is right. There's no rule saying that sex has to stop after an orgasm. She rolls Weying towards her so that she can dip her mouth to catch hers in a kiss. Her lips are soft, and Weying makes a pleased sound. She slides her fingers back inside Weying, this time moving slower, taking the opportunity to spread her fingers and scissor them as Weying gasps and rocks her hips in time. They make out slowly in the sun, Weying leaning into Lanchen. Lanchen makes her come and come again, for four times before Weying slumps into her, panting, her hips twitching every time Lanchen brushes against her clit. Lanchen's entire hand is wet from Weying's cunt, and her wrist aches. At some point, she rocked up the t-shirt to get her hand underneath to knead at Weying's boobs and pinch her nipples, which are hard and visible when the t-shirt drapes over them. Weying has twisted sideways so that she sat in Lanchen's lap, one leg thrown over her hip as she pants softly into Lanchen's shoulder. Lanchen pulls her hand away reluctantly. Her wrist clicks when she straightens it. She isn't going to touch Weying with it. She should really reach over for that towel she'd brought up earlier. But Weying is already shucking off her t-shirt so that she can wipe Lanchen's hand off. "Looks fine," Weying informs her, and then her fingers pull at the elastic of Lanchen's shorts.
"What?"
Lanchen is unbelievably, horrendously, undeniably wet. She's just been mostly ignoring it for now. Except Weying keeps plucking at her shorts, and every sensibility that Lanchen might have ever had about sex has been crushed in the grand total of about 15 minutes anyway, so honestly she might as well. She shifts her weight and pulls off both her shorts and underwear in one go. In exactly the same way that it was the first thing that Lanchen noticed about Weying, Wing's eyes focus in on the thatch of dark hair that Lenten has there. She trims it occasionally to get from getting itchy, but otherwise she hasn't rid herself of body hair since she was a teenager. And even then, only occasionally. Wing reaches out, her hand hovering until Lenten nods her permission. Her other hand slides up Lenten's calf, her fingertips feeling the hair on her legs.
"Fuzz," she says, stroking her fingertips through repeatedly, picking up the smears of wetness that are sticking to the lower coarse hairs.
Lenten cocks one of her legs up to give Wing a better view.
"Wet,"
confirms Wing, her fingers on Lenten a touch so delicate that it feels like teasing. She's staring at Lenten's pussy like it's the most wondrous thing she's ever seen. Wing is a quick learner, and she takes direction well. Lenten guides her through it until she's hitting the angle that makes that roil of arousal grow, swelling inside her. She doesn't normally come from penetration, so it just grows and grows, with nowhere to go, and Lenten lets herself prolong the delicious agony until she finally reaches down and rubs her clit, hard and rough and just enough to break the wave. She comes with a shout, startling Wing enough that her fingers slip out, and then she rams them back in. Lenten clenches around her and moans through her orgasm. She lives alone, on a boat that's often in the sea. She has never needed to be quiet before. A tiny wave rocks the boat, bringing her back to herself and where they are. She takes a moment from where she's sitting on the deck of her boat, leaning back against the prow with her pussy out in public where anyone could see it if they just rounded the corner at the far side of the harbor, to consider that she's had more sex with Wing just now than she has with anyone else collectively.
"Well, that escalated quickly."
Wim picks up the t-shirt again and wipes her hands off while Lenten is trying to decide if she's about to have some sort of existential crisis, and then tucks herself up against Lenten, her ass against Lenten's thigh, her side and boobs pressed against Lenten's front, and her hands hooked into the fabric of Lenten's t-shirt, and her cheek pressed against Lenten's shoulder.
"Lenten warm," she says, and closes her eyes for a nap.
It takes a little bit of negotiation, where Lenten tries to set Wing up on the sofa, which is almost as big as her bed anyway, and Wing keeps trying to crawl into bed with her that evening. It takes 3 rounds of circular argument before a light bulb finally turns on in Lenten's head.
"You're cold-blooded," she says, the exasperation directed at herself for not figuring it out. "You need to be near warmth in order to get warm."
Wing nods.
"Lenten warm," she says, as it was entirely obvious all along.
The bed is not really big enough for 2 people. Wing sleeps like Lenten is part of her space. She presses up against Lenten's side and steals her body warmth as Lenten wraps an arm around her waist so that she doesn't fall off the edge in her sleep, and wonders if it's too soon to ask if Wing would consider letting her fuck her again, this time when she's mentally prepared for it. "That's probably a bit much, right?"
It takes her longer than usual to fall asleep.
Lenten wakes up the next morning with the first lit of dawn light, as she always does, and Wing is still pressed against her, except that their legs are now also tangled together, and her hair is now everywhere, including in Lenten's face. She tries to slide her arm out from under Wing's neck. She can already feel the little twinge that means that it's been in the same position for too long, which means the pain will set in properly once she's moved it. But there isn't enough space for Lenten to do anything but jostle Wing,
She blinks awake.
Hello.
Hello,
says Lan Chen, from where she's managed to slide herself up the side of the wall to try and extricate herself from Wei Ying.
I didn't mean to wake you.
Lan Chen, wake early, says Wei Ying, squinting at the watery yellow trickling in through the window.
The earlier we set off, the sooner you'll be home,
says Lan Chen, except then Wei Ying wiggles closer, hitches her knee up and slides her crotch against Lan Chen's leg, leaving a little wet smear from her pussy against her thigh and... Well. Lan Chen ends up delaying the journey for half a day longer than she thought she would. Not just because Wayne distracts her from her usual dawn routine, but also because she stops back on land again. She thought she'd got everything she needed, but at the rate of the last day and a half, she decides to stock up on some more fresh water if she's going to need to wash themselves down this often. Also, another set of spare bedsheets and some more towels. Once they finally set sail, Wayne gets engrossed in how the boats work. Her long, slim fingers touch everything Lan Chen does, over the patterns of her knots and the angle of the tiller, peering into water to watch how the rudder moves, shaking the sail so she can feel the wind fill it. It takes Lan Chen longer than usual to get them set up, partly because she moves slower to show Wei Ying, explaining in simple Mandarin occasionally, and also because Wei Ying is still eschewing clothes. She won't even wear a long t-shirt in the vein of the one Lan Chen lent her yesterday. It's very distracting. The boat doesn't require a huge amount of maintenance if the winds are blowing in the right direction. Lan Chen knows to take these moments for the gift of time as they are. Because if the weather is bad or the wind is blowing in the opposite direction of where she wants to go, or any of a dozen other things, steering the boat and keeping it afloat takes every gram of her concentration and skill. For now, she gets ready for work. She wears her sword most of the time, to the point where it sometimes feels odd when she takes it off on land. Wei whistles at the frosty, translucent blade of Bichun in admiration when Lan Chen draws it for long enough to fly her to the top of the mast and check on the spirit tokens she has secured there. Then, she takes out her Tianquan pouch and starts inputting her notes into her laptop. Each of the tokens inside, wrapped carefully in cloth, are an item from a person lost at sea. She picks them up from family members and friends, who ask her to find the spirit even if she cannot recover the body, and guide it home. She picked up 7 new cases in Qinghuang Dao to investigate on her way back down to add to her handful of older cases that still need resolving. Lan Chen unwraps the tokens. They can be anything, like a hairbrush, a favorite shirt, a necklace, and sets them up on the deck so that if the spirits are nearby, they might resonate with them. She's sitting, meditating, and focusing her tea when she feels something from beside her. Automatically, she can feel that it's Wei Ying. It doesn't feel like qi in the same way as Lan Chen's. It's more similar to the qi that she can feel flowing through a tree or a thrumming through a field of grass. When she cracks open an eye, Wei Ying is leaning over the tokens and holding the sweep of her hair back so that it doesn't touch any of them, and humming curiously.
Souls lost at sea, says Lan Chen. I try to bring them home to their families.
Wei Ying nods solemnly. Like a ghost, few few, she says, pointing up and making little circle motions with her finger. That's interesting. Wing is clearly attuned with her own qi and can feel spiritual energy in a similar way to Lan Chen.
Lenchen adds that to her list of clues that she's compiling about what exactly Weiying is. Also, Lenchen had almost forgotten the ghost she's ferrying home. When she finds a ghost and she can identify who it is and where they're from, she encourages them to become familiar with the token, understand that it was a part of their life as a human. Most of the spirits don't stay in the boat with her, usually just orbiting around or coming and going using their token as a beacon. So it's not like she goes to bed every night knowing that there are ghosts watching her, but still. It's the first time she's had company on her boat, and the idea that the ghost might have been lingering around is just embarrassing.
Yes, the ghost. I'm taking her home.
Hopefully, Weiying doesn't notice Lenchen's heated face. She's fascinated with the Tianquan bag, sticking her entire arm in and then looking to check it hasn't punched out of the other side of the bag.
Weiying, wait.
Lenchen has to stop her from climbing inside to see if it'll fit her entire body. It will. But she does keep some dangerous things in there, and also there is no oxygen in there. Lenchen keeps an Excel doc with comprehensive notes of all of her cases. Where the person went missing and when. The weather patterns at that time, which might indicate in which direction a body might have buffeted. Where she has already tried looking for it. It seems that Weiying can't read, apart from the occasional character she points out when she's peering over Lenchen's shoulder. But she gets it when Lenchen explains it to her aloud, and then shows her the maps and charts.
He fell overboard here last week in the storm,
says Lenchen, pointing on the map and playing the time-lapse weather chart over it.
Current goes this way. And then with speed and time, he might be around here. And we're nearly there now.
Ghost easier than body, says Weiying as she studies the charts. Lenta nods. She wouldn't stand a chance if she tried to find the bodies. There are just too many variables. She can at least make sure that their spirits are taken care of. Honestly, at sea is the worst place for a Guqin. The humidity and salt and stray wisps of sea foam wrap the wood and dampen the strings. The open air whips the notes away, making her melodies difficult to hear. Lenchen tends to store it in the Tianquan bag when it's not in use, and tends to it daily within the cabin. She sees Weiying listening to her pluck the strings, and bites the inside of her cheek. She wants to tell her that it sounds much better when it's indoors, underground, in a room with proper acoustics. She'd like to play for her one day. But Weiying doesn't seem to mind. She's only interested in the spiritual energy she can feel out of it. She sings along, a sound from the back of her throat that starts out raspy and then evens out. Lenchen can feel Weiying's spiritual energy also in the air, like it's probing at hers, figuring out what she's doing. It doesn't seem to affect Lenchen's inquiry, whatever it is that Weiying does. The spirits still respond, or do not, in the same way that Lenchen would expect.
Lonely ghost,
says Weiying as she watches the Guqin springs pluck themselves. A spirit answering back in Qin language.
You understand the music? Asks Lenchen.
That, too, is interesting. Weiying shrugs.
Music plink plank, she says dismissively, miming plucking at the strings.
Understand ghost, not music.
Lenchen nods. Lonely ghost, she agrees. As she switches from asking questions to a piece that disperses the spirit.
Sometimes she comes across spirits lost at sea she's not looking specifically for. People whose families have not put out a request or who don't believe in cultivation anymore. Or people who don't have family to make sure they travel through the afterlife well. Lenchen does what she can to settle those ghosts as well. They come across a cluster of spirits milling around just after dusk. Something tragic must have happened here, like a whole ship sinking, and recently. Lanchen makes a note to check the news, but for now, she gets out her funeral supplies and a notebook. Groups of ghosts can get dangerous quickly, feeding off each other's sorrow and frustration at being stranded at sea until the entire lot of them become resentful. Wing helps her pick through them all carefully, so that she can jot down each of their names, where they're from, who might be looking for them, and then watches as Lenten lights incense for each of them and lays out offerings, until the top deck of the boat is dotted in little firefly glows of the incense tips. As they fade, she asks quietly,
"Gone?"
"Yes."
"What if not gone?"
Lenten carefully measures out the sand, ready to bury the burnt-out incense sticks. She has to perform the rituals for the dead, but she also doesn't want fire hazards aboard. "If they won't go by themselves, I try to find out what their final wishes are. If they want to go home first, I can take them. But if they get violent, then I will have to fight them." By the time they're done, the sun has gone and only the faint smell of sandalwood from the incense remains. Night on the sea comes all at once, with no trees or buildings to break up the horizon, and no streetlights to extend the day. It's later than she prefers to eat, but Lenchen has long since learned to bow to the beck and call of the sea, adapting her routine around the weather and the tides. Wing is clearly also hungry, her stomach letting out a growl as they dust their hands of the last grains of sand.
"I'll make some beans," says Lenten.
She much prefers rice to beans, but beans are quicker. Wee watches her go through the cupboard and then makes a face.
"Dry food," she says sadly.
"It's quick," says Lenten.
"It's sad," says Wing, which is not wrong. "No fish?"
Technically, Lenten has a small net that she can attach to the side of the boat to pick up fish, but she rarely bothers with it when she's one person and unlikely to eat more than a single fish.
"We'll be in port again in 3 days," she points out instead.
Wing sighs dramatically. "I fish."
She troops back out onto the deck, Lenten following her still with a tin of beans in her hand, and Lenten nearly drops it as Wayne just throws herself off the side of the ship. She hurries forward, but it's dark now and they're in open water. She has a lantern on the front of her cabin and it takes 2-3 horrendous moments for her to impatiently detach it from the wall before she can get to the side of the boat. The boat bobs, the waves gentle as they come for open water, but she still can't see Wing. She doesn't know what to do. Lenchen stares out into the darkness, eyes stinging as she opens them in the face of the wind and the salt breeze. It has been a long time since she didn't know what to do. Wing knew. She must have done, surely, what she was doing when she threw herself overboard. Lenchen knows that Wing is not human. She can take care of herself. She can. There is nothing to be gained by Lenchen also throwing herself overboard in the dark. Lenchen grips the side of the boat so hard that it creaks and gives under her hand. There's a loud splash from the other side, and Lenchen feels her entire heart leap into her throat, choking her for long enough that it hurts to swallow past. Wing's head breaks the surface, and Lenchen's stomach swoops like the tip of turbulence on a plane ride.
"Wing!"
Wing pulls herself up, the muscles in her arms and shoulders straining as she tries to heave herself over the side of the boat. Long wet hair plaster against her skull and neck and chest. She spits something onto the deck. Fish, Lenchen realizes dimly. 2 fish,
Help up, says Wayne cheerfully. And Lenten slides forward to pull her up. The boat tips under the weight of her body. And it's not until Lenten sees the rest of her that she realizes why. The lower half of Wing from her stomach down turns into scales, iridescent and almost black in the darkness of night. Lenten is strong. She knows this. It's not a brag, just a fact. It takes most of her strength to haul Wing up over the side until the widest part of her tail is up. And she flips the rest of it over herself, spraying the deck and Lenten with water. Lenten gasps, half exertion, half wonder. The tail is enormous. Even curled around the edge of the boat, it takes up most of the decking. Wing is easily 4 meters from head to tip. Now, by the light of the lantern, she can see that it's a dark red. No wonder it fades into the shadows. She hangs the lantern up and turns on the rest of her external lamps. Wing finds the 2 fish she'd spat out, still wriggling on the deck, and picks them up by the tail. Fish! Lenten's heart is still hammering her chest. Fish, she says eventually, for lack of anything better to say, and goes to take them from Wing. Wing pulls her hand back just out of reach as Lenten goes to take them and tips her head up.
Kiss!
She smiles up at Lenten with her sharp, sharp teeth that have fish guts and blood in them. Somehow, it makes Lenten smile. You need to clean your teeth first. That makes Wing frown before she realizes what Lenten means. She rolls over and dunks her head over the side of the boat and gargles. She flings her head up, hair flipping up so fast it smacks against her shoulder with a wet slap.
Kiss!
She says insistently, baring her teeth again to show Lenten that they're clean this time. Lenten gives her a kiss. She's cold and wet and salty, and she makes a pleased little wheezing noise out of the delicate gills that Lenten can now see on the sides of her neck. Her tail on the other end of the deck goes whoop whoop. She hands Lenten the fish. Thank you, says Lenten, and gives her another kiss. I'll get you some towels. Dinner ends up a crispy fried fish over some rice noodles. It had taken almost the entire time that it took Lenten to clean and cook the fish for Wayne to towel herself down enough that she's back to legs. Lenten feels it when the boat rocks back to level, no longer front loaded. Lenten wishes that she could take a closer look at the tail, ask questions about where the mass goes when it disappears, a dozen other questions, actually. But it doesn't seem the right time when Wing is bundled up under her duvet, with her hair tucked away in a little towel twist that she keeps admiring.
Crunch!
Says Wing when she tries the fish, and then stuffs the whole thing into her mouth, bones and all. Lenten, on the other hand, is using her chopsticks to remove the bones. She pauses.
Do you usually eat fish raw?
Cold, but fresh. Wing seems happy enough with cooked fish, but the chopsticks do not agree with her at all. Lenten digs out a fork for her instead, but she gives Lenten the stink eye and goes back to trying to arrange the chopsticks on her fingers.
Like this, says Lenten,
and slots her hand over Wing's, showing her where the pressure is supposed to go. It's partially successful. Wing's hand is cool and smooth, nestled in hers, at least. Wing hands the chopsticks back to Lenten after a bit.
Cramp,
she complains, stretching out her hand.
You'll get used to it if you practice.
Lenten thinks about how the trip up the coast normally takes only a couple of weeks at most. and that's if she's staying out in open water to fulfill the cultivation requests. She's not sure we will have time to master it before she gets home. "Feed me," says Wing, pointing at Lenchen's hand, which is still holding chopsticks and not in danger of cramping anytime soon.
"Say, please."
"Feed me, please." Wing leans in and opens her mouth until Lenchen does, slurping the long noodles off her chopsticks before they even arrive, little flecks of soup catching at the corners of her lips. The next 2 weeks pass in a haze, like a dream that lingers to the point where Lenchen knows she should be waking up, but instead chooses to cling to it. She wakes in the morning with Wing pressed up against her, bribes Wing to let her out of bed with a round of sex, or two. She'll spend the day checking on the boat and then working on her cases, trying to locate spirits and calm them. Wei will help when they're near a ghost, but otherwise spends her time swimming in the waters near the boat, and then sunbathing on the deck to dry out. She never goes far, and never goes over after dark, after Lenchen explains the panic of that first time, and she keeps them in fresh supply of fish. She complains about how cold the water is and pokes her hard nipples ruefully. Lenchen thinks at first that she might just not be aware of human customs, but then she catches Wing smiling slyly at her from beneath long eyelashes as she inches closer and closer until she can murmur "wet" into Lenchen's ear. They fuck a lot. They stop off in port for long enough for Lenchen to go to a laundromat and refill as much fresh water as the boat can hold. She briefly entertains the thought of buying a strap-on, since Wing has been enjoying the introduction of her two toys, but dismisses it quickly. She hasn't had company on her boat in the decade or so she's lived there, and Wing will be gone soon enough. Oh, she does buy more Luckwits, though. They spend the evenings in the cabin, Wing curled up on, or around, or against Lenchen, stealing her body warmth. Lenchen brushes her hair and tells her she'd be warmer if she'd put clothes on. Wing traces her bony fingers around the stripes of Lenchen's grading tan from the different lengths of t-shirt sleeve that she owns. And she does not put clothes on. Realistically, it doesn't take 2 weeks to travel down the coast of China, but Lenchen tells herself that the time they spend wrapping up her cases is worth it for the families waiting to hear from her. She periodically asks Wing if the water is still too cold, and it always is. Until. "Here," says Wing, sitting up abruptly. She sniffs the air and swings her head towards the coast, even though the shoreline is barely on the horizon. "Water comes out here," says Wing. "Whoosh! Spit me out!" They're outside of Shanghai. The river that flows out to sea from here is the Yangtze. Lenchen's eyebrows climb, despite herself. She wonders how it could be that Wing ended up so far from home without being discovered. The Yangtze is big, but also a lot of people use it. Enough that it's difficult to navigate her boat up towards the port, as larger boats and commercial ships honk. Lenchen switches to the electric motor and puts the sails down. She doesn't use it often, but being able to maneuver through everything is more important at the moment. She adds a talisman onto the motor for good measure. Wing watches, her eyes darting left and right, head craning back as she takes in the size of one of the cargo ships. Her mouth is set in a little mole, and Lenchen could not agree more.
"Dirty and smelly," says Wing,
"like cold ghost." The metallic smell of rust does smell a bit like a rotting ghost.
"I try to avoid them, usually," she says. Wing tugs on the end of Lenchen's t-shirt.
Want this now.
Lenchen gets her a t-shirt long enough to pass as a dress, and then a thick, knitted jumper when Wing huddles in it miserably. Their boat trapped in the shadow of a commercial liner. She doesn't even show any interest in the port, which she usually does, staying inside the cabin until they slide up the river past the city, past the bustle, until Lenchen switches off the electric motor and back to sails. It's slow going, heading upstream, but Lenchen has a wealth of experience working the sails and the river is plenty wide. It's not until the sight of skyscrapers peters out completely into the countryside, hills and falling slopes covered in grass and trees, that Wing potters back out.
Better, she says quietly, looking at the trees. People ask me if I get lonely being out at sea by myself.
Lenchen finds herself volunteering the information.
And the truth is, yes. But having to put up with people is worse.
Wing laughs like the sound of glass clinking together.
I like people. Your people, my people, both. But human cities don't listen to ghosts.
Lenchen nods. The cultivation path is largely a thing of the past now. Cultivation consultancies bring in the money, while the roadside shrines gather dust and dirt. She's the only cultivator who bothers with the spirits left at sea. They keep heading upstream.
How did you end up all the way in the north of the sea?
Asks Lenchen as they pass, by her reckoning, Wuhu. Wing sighs.
Water demon. Chased off, but no good place to stop. Sea will disperse it.
She's leaning over the side, one hand trailing in the water, the edge of her cheek squished up on the edge of the boat. Her other hand is holding a hank of hair as she tries not to trail it into the water. She's kicking her legs idly, both legs in time in a way that most humans wouldn't do, the hem of her t-shirt riding up so that Lenchen can see the bottom of one plump, smooth ass cheek. Even though Lenchen has seen her buck naked every day for the last fortnight, somehow this is what gives her the hard gut punch of longing. Perhaps she had just never known what lonely was. She comes up behind Wing and slides her hand onto the back of Wing's thigh. Soft and always slyly cool to the touch. Wing looks away from the scenery to smile at her. Eyes crinkled all the way up.
Are we close?
Asks Lenchen. Her fingertips drift up until she can run them along the line where buttock meets thigh. Wing hums and shrugs. The sky's getting dark, and while Lenchen has no issues sailing on the open sea, river sailing is unfamiliar to her. She takes them up to the bank and ties the boat up before the light slips away entirely. It's safer that way, she tells herself. Or they could run aground during the night. They have no spirits to call or cases to update. Nothing to distract Lenchen for the evening.
Are you wet?
She asks instead when Wing tucks herself up on the sofa next to her. She puts her hand on Wing's knee. It's the first time she's asked out of the two of them. Wing blinks, a moment of surprise before it disappears when she rubs her face against Lenchen's shoulder.
Lenchen! Always wet,
she says, sighing gustily.
Very inconvenient. Never wet before meeting Lenchen.
Lenchen thinks about asking. Chickens out of asking. Smacks herself internally for chickening out. Eventually, manages to ask in the most oblique way.
Because you had a tail?
It's not a completely irrelevant comment. After all, Wing doesn't have a pussy in mermaid form.
Because no Lenchen,
says Wei Ying tartly.
Oh.
Lan Chen kisses her. Hard. Once. Twice. Three times. Pushes her down on the sofa until Lan Chen can push Wei Ying's legs apart and get her face into her cunt. She eats Wei Ying out like it's the last time she might get to do that, and tries not to think about how it might be the last time she gets to do that, and presses two fingers in to feel Wei Ying clench around her. She fucks her fast until Wei Ying screams and then slow before she can come. Like the night will last longer if Wei Ying hasn't come yet. Wei Ying pulls on her hair, and Lan Chen rocks up the t-shirt and the jumper until she can see Wei Ying's boobs, small but enough for a mouthful.
Not fair,
gasps Wei Ying when Lan Chen bites down hard enough that Wei Ying jerks, leaving a neat little row of marks across her breast. Wei Ying is not allowed to bite, on account of having very sharp, pointy teeth. She is only allowed to lie back and let Lan Chen kiss her thoroughly and carefully. Wei Ying has managed to reach down and get two fingers into Lan Chen. Her fingers are cool counterpoint to the flush that Lan Chen can feel across her entire body. By the time that Lan Chen has worked Wei Ying open enough that she can take four of Lan Chen's, almost her entire hand covered in Wei Ying's juices, slipping easily in and out as she moans with a stretch. She takes it so easy. Lan Chen feels it when Wei Ying comes, convulsing and getting tight around her hand as she screams for Lan Chen. She frantically writes Wei Ying's fingers, chasing that sensation herself. It's not until Wei Ying leans up and scrapes the edge of her teeth, so pointy, so sharp, against Lan Chen's nipple that it tips her over the edge and she comes with a shout. She feels herself sway, embraces herself against the wall with one arm, her other hand still four fingers deep in Wei Ying's pussy. She looks down. Wei Ying looks back up at her, deeply smug. She runs her thumb over Wei Ying's clit in retaliation, and Wei Ying's hips rise up off the sofa as she squeals.
Still wet? Asks Lan Chen.
Wei Ying glares at her mulishly. Lan Chen is pretty sure they permanently stain the sofa. Wei Ying's pussy is red and swollen, and she's shaking with little aftershocks by the time Lan Chen lets her tap out. Even the gentle brush of a flannel to wipe her down has her shuddering. And if Lan Chen wasn't assured that this was Wei Ying's human form, she could be concerned about how floppy her spine is as Lan Chen attempts to wrestle her the whole meter across the boat from sofa to bed.
So mean,
moans Wei Ying as she rubs her legs together. Lan Chen dabs at the sensitive scratch lines across her own breasts, because they had discovered that Wei Ying is, in fact, allowed to bite but only a little bit, and tucks them both into bed. Wei Ying presses against her, as she always does, and Lan Chen pulls her close.
Very mean, she murmurs indulgently.
They haven't even brushed their teeth. The barbarity.
The meanest,
says Wei Ying as she presses a kiss against Lan Chen's shoulder and promptly falls asleep.
Water warm!
Wei Ying rolls into the water the next morning, lying out alongside the boat as she kicks her legs once, twice, before they merge together and form a tail that stretches the length of the boat. In the sunlight, her scales glitter a bright red when they break the surface and are an iridescent purple and maroon when they're below. She rolls over onto her back so that she can look up at Lan Chen as they head up the river. Lan Chen is aware that she could leave Wei Ying now.
She's evidently close enough to home that she's comfortable in the water. But she's not ready to say goodbye yet. It would be right to escort her all the way, she tells herself. They've almost reached Wuhan. According to the satellite images that Lenten uses to keep track of her location, when Wei Ying perks up, she swims ahead, gesturing for Lenten to follow her, veering off the Yangtze before they reach Wuhan proper. Wuhan is huge, a sprawling city that has eaten up the marshland and is in return being eaten up by the marshland. There had been over 100 lakes here, maybe only 40 or 50 years ago. But in Lenchen's lifetime, they've been drained and repurposed, built over and turned into artificial lakes. Lenchen had been interested in the projects due to the massive and often underappreciated disruption to aquatic life that such a change would cause. As they get closer to the city, Wayne ducks her head into the water so low that Lenchen has to concentrate to see where the slight bob of her head is in the moving water. But she never turns into the city, instead skirting Lenchen around the edges until they reach a natural lake. Lenchen isn't sure how she can tell it's a natural lake, except that it feels that way to her. There's lotus growing in erratic clumps, their flowers swaying as Wing weaves her way through them. Green algae clings to the surface of the water, disrupted like milk skin as Lenten steers her boat through it. No wonder the water here is much warmer than the open sea. Wayne circles the boat and then waves her arms at Lenten. She has green algae striped across her shoulder and arm.
Home!
That's good, says Lenten. I'm glad we made it.
There's a sound. Or, well, Lenten thinks it's a sound. She mistakes it for a blast of spiritual energy at first, because she realizes enough to know that she didn't hear it through her ears. But then, a ripple flows across the lake, hard enough that it hits the side of Lenten's boat and rocks it. Some sort of sound that's not within Lenten's hearing range.
Jie!
Shrieks Wei Ying.
My Jie!
She tells Lenchen, and then she's gone, ducking under the water with a flip of her fins and only a dark shadow quickly lost among the plants bobbing on the surface. If Lenchen squints, she thinks she can see moving shadows, but it's entirely possible that she's just seeing what she wants to see, and there's nothing to see at all. And even though it's what she had been hoping for, she's still surprised when the surface of the water breaks next to her boat and there are two heads looking up for her. The second mermaid is smaller, with wide eyes and a wider smile. Lenchen bows, because she doesn't know what else to do. Wei waves between the two of them.
Lenchen, adieu, adieu, Lenchen. Zhang Yanli,
the mermaid introduces herself.
Thank you for take good care of Wei Ying.
Zhang Yanli's voice is high-pitched and reedy. Lenchen had almost forgotten how unsteady Wei Ying's Mandarin was the first few days before she figured out all the places to put her tongue and teeth and cheeks when talking.
Yes, yes, thank you,
says Wei Ying impudently, and flings water at Lenchen.
Very good care.
Lenchen does not blush.
Everyone worry,
says Wei Ying's sister, making sure to use Mandarin so that Lenchen understands she's being scolded.
If skrrr, big water, just ain't worry, Morla,
says Wei Ying, switching between the mermaid language and Chinese with ease. Jiang Yili looks at her fond and exasperated all at once.
Ah Ying. Yes, yes, okay, I come.
Lenchen's heart clenches.
Wei Ying.
Wei Ying flings her hand over the side of the boat to grab Lenchen's and squeezes.
Stay. Visit, yes?
Yes. All right.
Okay. Back soon. My orange fruit, please.
Wing doesn't give Lenchen a chance to answer, dunking herself back into the water. Dian Li at least gives Lenchen an apologetic look before swimming after her. And Lenchen is left with a damp hand and a hole in her heart she didn't even know was there. It's good that Wing is home. The world still believes in ghosts and spirits, the vestiges of their loved ones, but there is no generosity in it for other remnants of the cultivation world. Lenchen steers her boat towards the bank for lack of anything better to do, and then towards the small market she sees when she gets closer. It's simply put together. Most people selling things straight out of baskets and boxes. Fruit and vegetable sellers, among other stalls, selling handmade wares. Half of them are still on their rowboats, tied loosely to the bank. With the trees surrounding the lake and blocking out the skyscrapers, Lenchen can almost forget that one of China's most densely populated cities lies barely a few kilometers away. It is a little piece of the old country, preserved around this lake. The market isn't big enough to distract her for long. It seems to be mostly regulars and locals hanging out and chatting. She passes each of them, catching snatches of conversations about people's kids and grandkids, health and illnesses.
You! Cultivator!
Lenchen turns. There's an old woman sitting behind a cheap folding table covered in charms.
I knew it! You're a cultivator!
She points at Lenchen's sword, which she'd almost forgotten that she was wearing.
We don't get many of you around these parts anymore.
There aren't many cultivators left at all, says Lenchen.
She eyes the charms. They look real, the little bags imbued with spiritual energy inside. Interesting.
Are you here to night hunt?
Asks the woman boldly. Lenchen snaps her attention to the old woman.
No. Visiting.
Po harams at her.
And this lake exists just fine without cultivators, I'll have you know. The last one we had didn't even chase off the water demon properly.
Po, you seem to know a lot about cultivation.
We keep to the old ways around here, and we do it peacefully.
Lenchen nods. A necklace charm catches her eye. It looks like it's made out of an iridescent fish scale. Dark purple, shimmering into lilac. She thinks about the way Zhang Yanlin's skin was pale, like she didn't come up to the surface a lot, and the way Wing's tan was as brown as Lenchen's forearms.
I'm just here to buy some logwoods, she says.
For you?
For a friend who likes logwoods.
Says Po, and glares at her slightly less.
Old Tang over there sells them. You'd be careful when you're walking around with a sword. People will get the wrong idea.
Lenchen nods and places Bi Chen into her Tianquan pouch and goes to buy a whole basket of logwoods. If she's going to be visiting Wing's home, she can't come empty-handed, and she has no idea what else to bring. She's not sure anything else she would normally buy would survive underwater. She doesn't know how Wing expects her to stay underwater. She swims well considering she spends her life at sea, but she can still only hold her breath for 7 minutes. She waits on her boat, taking the time to write out a stack of talismans and take them to Popo, who is mollified enough that she tells one of her neighbors to give Lenchen a stick of sticky rice for lunch, and then goes back to wait some more on the boat. The market packs up around late afternoon, everyone wanting to get home to their kids and grandkids. The sun is threatening to dip below the tips of the trees, The surface of the water breaks and Lenchen looks up to see Wing rising out of the water and waving at her. She dips back down immediately, and Lenchen immediately unties the boat, heading out to meet her using a talisman in her impatience.
Lenchen!
Wing gurgles, mouth half in the water as she tries to speak.
Sorry, had to explain at home.
It's all right.
Lenchen leans over. Now that Wing is closer, she can see that the reason Wing is struggling to get above the surface is because she and Jing and Li are dragging something along behind them. Lenchen holds her hands out for it and wrestles it aboard. It's some sort of cloth bundle, except when it breaks the surface, the water rolls off it and the fabric is completely dry. It's gossamer thin and slippery in Lenchen's hands. It drops to the deck before she can grab it properly and falls open to reveal a bundle of miscellaneous items. A comb, some pretty hairpins, a pouch. Lenchen doesn't have the time to look at it all before Wing waves at her.
Look! I'm mishatching!
She looks, and suddenly Wing is holding a tubby baby aloft in the air, its pale yellow tail thrashing and splashing them all.
Guppy! She had Guppy!
Jiang Yinli puts her arm on Wing's hand and reminds her.
Tail for air!
Oop! Says Wing, and lets go of the baby, which plops back into the water and then immediately swims away until it's hidden behind Jiang Yinli.
A beautiful guppy,
Lenchen says, and Jiang Yinli smiles at her. She finds herself unable to help but smile back.
That is Guppy,
says Wayne proudly before she sidles up to the side of the boat. Come on, help up! Lenchen hurries over. She'd assumed that she would be able to follow Wayne to her home with a boat, wherever that was. And lets Wei wend her arms around Lenchen's neck so she can pick her up and onto the boat.
Okay, ready to go,
says Wei. Jiang Yili gives Wei a hug, strong and fierce, from over the side of the boat and then flicks herself back so that she can wave them off.
We visit often, yes?
Asks Wei hopefully. Lenchen is dumbstruck. She hadn't thought that she'd assumed that, well, she'd assumed. She swallows. She looks down at the opened bundle on the deck again. Personal items. Things Wing didn't want to part with. Things she was bringing with her. Because she had gone home. Gone home to explain. And now she was back. On Lenchen's boat. Her voice feels like it's glued stuck. She pries it open with difficulty.
We visit often, yes.
See? We'll be back, Jie. Take good care of her,
says Jiang Yili, and Lenchen isn't sure who she's speaking to.
I will.
Lenchen sets the boat in motion again and waves along with Wing until Jiang Yili is out of sight. She ducks inside the cabin to get the navy towel that she has mentally started dubbing Wing's so that Wing can dry off before she starts to get cold again. She exchanges the towel for a kiss, and the hair towel for a second kiss, and a promise that she'll brush Wing's hair out later.
I'll brush your hair out every day,
says Lenchen, and even that seems too much. She hopes Wing understands. Time for ghosties to go home too, says Wing, eyes flicking to the mast. Lenchen is reminded, once again, that she is still shepherding a cluster of spirits back to their families. There were two from Shanghai. She probably should have stopped there on her way in, and it just didn't occur to her. Her thoughts have been consumed with the idea of losing Wing too soon. And now she doesn't have to think about that. It's a little overwhelming. She touches Wing, a stroke down her cheek, just because she can. Wing turns and pretends to bite her finger.
Lenchen smiles, subtly, and Wing stares for a moment. Smiles back. They'll stop in Shanghai on the way back out to sea. Pick up any other requests she's had come through. Stock up on fresh water. Maybe she'll go buy that strap-on after all. The end.